Pleasure having you on the show. You know, I'm a huge fan of the clothing brand that you have. It's a it's a brand that really caught my eye.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, especially because I'm just starting too. So it always means a lot when people tell me that they really like it, because I still feel like I haven't really shown much yet, honestly. So when I hear compliments like that, definitely hits different.
Hello and welcome back to the Vonnie X podcast. In today's episode, we have an amazing clothing designer. Now, Bryn is the CEO and creator of 1025, which is a self-owned clothing brand. I'm so glad you could be on today's episode, Bryn. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I am doing fine myself. Yeah, you're like on the podcast, we've been doing like I've done a couple artists, musicians. You're gonna be the first one that's like not in that category. You're like the first one in that we talk about in a different category.
Oh damn, that's super dope. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm really interested about this podcast. So starting off, Bryn, I know you have your own clothing brand that is 1025. What inspired you to do, I guess, to get the idea of starting your clothing line?
So I would say that I've always been interested in fashion alongside film. But I think what really took it over for me, that got me to really start it, was honestly just seeing other people that I knew have their own brand. And just seeing that they had something to call their own, it really just made me want to have that myself. So I think it was my junior year at the University of Southern California. So that was like, man, like, I wanna say like 2019, yeah, because I just graduated. So yeah, just watching them grow their brand just kind of like ignited that fire within me.
So basically you were like brought up with like other people around you having their own clothing line, and you know, you saw how they were, I guess, starting their own clothing line and how they had their own thing that made you want to, you know, maybe I got a shot in this, you know, maybe this is something I want to do.
Yeah, because it's crazy because I actually did attempt to do a clothing brand, I'd say my freshman year at USC. And I was gonna call it Leader from the Hill because my first name Bryn means hill, and then my last name McIntosh means leadership, so I really wanted to play with my identity. But then I failed because I just became too afraid of judgment, so I gave up on it. I never showed it publicly, only to like a few close friends. So it was something that I had always wanted to do, but I guess never had the confidence until I was able to see my friends doing it and doing it really well, where they were making quality stuff. So that's definitely what told me that I could do it too, just as well and like with, you know, same amount of quality and so on.
Yeah, I've always said, like, even myself when I wanted to start whatever, because before I started a podcast, I wanted to do like music and stuff. I feel like the worst thing that can cross a creator or like someone, an artist, I feel like the worst thing that can cross their mind is to feel that to have the thought that what are people gonna think about it, are they gonna like it, you know. You know, that mentality. I remember when I first started off my podcast, I had a couple different names for it too. I think I had two other different names, and then I kept on switching them, and I ended up with the name that I have now, which, you know, I'm proud of, because my name is Yovani, so I guess I just took off the two letters of my name and Vonnie, and then just added an X. So
yeah, no, it's dope. I love the name. It stood out to me.
Yeah. What do you now that you've I guess got your clothing line and you have a few drops that you already made, what do you most love about being, I guess, a fashion designer? Because I would consider you a fashion designer.
Thank you. Yeah, when I saw that question, I was like, whoa, like fashion designer, like it's an interesting way, I guess, to view myself. But I would actually say what I love the most about being in this whole industry is the people, really, like watching, being able to connect with other creatives and to like just watch them grow alongside with me. Like I've met a lot of really cool people, you know, in my early journey. And I've like, you know, we've all been growing our brands at the same time. And it's just really cool to bear witness to. Yeah, there's just something about it, just connecting with people who share a similar passion or basically like have the same end goal as you. So I really love the people aspect of it, because that's where, you know, I find inspiration and friends too. It's not just about making connections for me. So I say the people for sure. But on a more personal note, I would definitely say what I love about it is the freedom that it offers. I always feel like I'm, I guess, like the freedom of expression. I always feel like I'm expressing like my most 100% self. And it's nice to not feel like there's any rules, so therefore no limitations. You know, like if you were to work a 9-to-5 job, like you'd have rules and such.
Yeah.
So in art, it's amazing that I can just literally do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. You have the freedom of like, I guess, having your own schedule and like, you know, not having to worry about certain things.
Yeah, that, and also just like, just the freedom of just, that comes with artistic expression too. So on a technical side, yeah, freedom in that, but also just in literally like designing too. Yeah, that's like why my slogan's literally a call to create, because it's International Artist Day. So I just really wanna, I guess, express that through my brand.
Gotcha. Before you started your clothing line, what were some other things that you did maybe before or even when you already have your clothing line? Like what's something that you like to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. So before 1025, I was a film student, like I said, at the University of Southern California. Mm-hmm. I was a film major. And because I grew up, I think since I was 6 years old, I wanted to be an animator. So I love cartoons. And so I carried that passion with me all up until my freshman year at USC, and then my major, Media Arts and Practice. It was basically a major that taught you a little bit of everything within media making. So mm-hmm. I basically had basic skills in everything media, you know, like graphic design. Game design, like coding for websites, documentary making, editing, producing, you name it. It was a lot. So I didn't take the traditional production major route. After my freshman year or during my freshman year, I just started becoming a sponge really and just became interested in everything. And I just wanted to try literally everything. Like I was coding my own website. I was making mini documentaries and things like that. And then I'd say before even all of that, I used to draw a lot, and I picked mm-hmm. it back up my senior year, which like really helped with 1025. So yeah, that was pretty much everything that I did before 1025. And it's still stuff I enjoy to do now. Like sometimes I just want to draw, and it's not always for like the brand. And I say like outside of design is I love anime. Like I'm a big fan for those who watch anime. But yeah,
what would your favorite anime show be?
It's One Piece, man. At One Piece, like for those who know the show, like the main character Luffy, he just has such an energy to him that I see myself in, and honestly inspired part of like the bear. Like if you look at my bear logo, there's like a scar underneath the eye, and that came from Luffy because he has like a little scar. underneath his eye, like, but that's for those, like, you know, who watch anime and know the show. But yeah, I fucking love anime, dude. So yeah, many,
that's shows, so cool.
Hunter, Hunter all the Naruto.
Yeah, Hunter, that's probably one of my favorite anime.
No,
I was thinking about trying to get a tattoo of one of the probably the Joker. I really love that dude.
Oh man, he's the goat. Yeah, I could go on and on, but you know, that's for another time.
Yeah, so I mean, it's so cool and amazing that you have all these skills that you learned. That's just a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it's definitely good to have under my belt.
Yeah, and it's also cool that I guess how you said that you were trying so many different things, because I guess sometimes when you fail on something, you always gotta have like a plan B, and you know, never give up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, plus in addition to that, I've always been really young for my class. So mm-hmm. I was a class of 2020, but I came into college at 17.
Wow.
You know, my birthday is on 10/25. gotcha. Yeah, I came into college being 17. So just thinking back at that now as a 22-year-old, I'm like, I did the right thing, because there's no way I could have known what I wanted at 17. Yeah. And 17-year-old me understood that, so that's why I was like, wait, hold up, like, did I really say I was gonna be an animator like for my whole life? Because once I started taking the classes, I was like, yo, like, this is not it. Yeah. Like, animation takes a long ass time. That's when I decided to just be a sponge and really embrace my major and everything it had to offer. So that was also another reason for trying new things, because I understood I was young and still am young.
Yeah, about the about that, like the creating, trying to create like animations, and like what would you say the hardest part about that would be? Is it like the competition between or just the like trying to get recognized
with the animation?
Yeah.
I think all of it, because, you know, USC is the number one film school in the world, and there's a lot of really talented mm-hmm. kids. So, yeah, there is, you do kind of feel a competitive energy that's unspoken, I'd say. And then, because you're really trying to, like, stick out from the crowd, but I only had, a small class in it, so I never really expanded my basic skills, but mm-hmm. The most challenging part is honestly, or I guess maybe it's not challenging, but it's super, super time consuming, like hours, hours long. And then it's even long without taking rendering into account, because rendering, I've seen kids like open like 2 or 3 desktops in our computer lab. Yeah. And all the computers are overheating, so the room is like really hot. There's like 20 computers, and 3 of them is 3 desktops are like for one student. So all of them are overheating at the same time.
Oh my god.
It's crazy. Yeah, like, so I feel like I dodged a bullet. I still love animation. Mm-hmm. I still would love to like direct animated content later down the line, but mm-hmm. for now it's 10/25.
Gotcha. So you had the idea of like, okay, I'm gonna start my own clothing line. Mm-hmm. So now, how did you get started? Like, what was your beginning? Like, I guess, the production.
Story. Yeah, it's a cool story, really. So, like I told you, at the beginning of this podcast, I was, I was looking at my friends do their brand, and it made me frustrated with myself, because it reminded me that I gave up. Mm-hmm. And it made me frustrated that I still didn't have something to call my own. So that summer, summer 2019, it's May, I'm home from the West Coast. I'm originally from Maryland. And I just had this urge to just draw something, like looking back at when I did Leader from the Hill, like I still kind of took elements from that, thinking about my identity. And I just started Masterclass too, and this dude Neil Gaiman, the dude who wrote the Coraline books and the movie and stuff, he talked a lot of something about a certain part of his whole Masterclass really stuck with me. He was saying, like, you know, when you're creating something, you, as long as, you know, don't think about the external things, like, you know, who, how do I appeal to this person, all blah blah blah, like,
yeah,
if you make it resonate with you, people will naturally resonate with
you.
So be sure to focus on telling a story that means something to you and has value and speaks to you, and only think about yourself in that moment, and then, like, that's when people will gravitate to you. So I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about my identity. Like, my nickname growing up was was Bryn Bear or Brynny Bear. I started just thinking about everything that had to do with Bryn. So 1025 is really close to Halloween, so I was thinking a lot about ghosts. I was looking at the ghost emoji, and I was like, okay, cool, like, let me play with that. And then I was like, oh, my birthday is 1025 down the arm. My initials, Bryn McIntosh, like, on the chest. And then boom, I had the Luffy inspiration. The star, and then boom, I had the 1025 there, and I thought it was so dope. I was like, oh shit, like, did I actually just make this just now? And like, I thought it was fire, but the only thing was I wasn't sure if other people would like it. So I had the confidence, but not entirely. So now, fast forwarding to July, I interned at a studio in Brooklyn called Steiner Studios. They filmed a bunch of stuff, like popular shows. They're like Power, the Gotham show, and they were filming like a Spielberg movie when I was there, which was really cool. So yeah, I didn't pick it back up until July, when my brother came to visit. I was staying with my older sister. He came to visit, and I took him to this market on Broadway Street, and there was a vendor that was selling t-shirts. And he had this option to do customs, like, right then and there. He told my brother if he emailed him a pic, he could print it out, cut it out, and put it on the heat press right then and there in 5 minutes. So it was cheap, but it was still really cool. So my brother told me, and I showed him the logo, the bear I'd made. I didn't know what to do with it yet. I hadn't even thought of a brand name. I wasn't even thinking about clothes. I mean, I was thinking about clothes, but I was just kind of like, I just made it and it looked cool. And I showed it to my brother before we left, like maybe a day or two before we went to this market. And I was expecting him to just buy a t-shirt, but he was like, oh, Bryn, like, this dude said that we can do a custom. And he told me that we should put my bear on the t-shirt. I was like, oh shit, like, you know, I got kind of nervous because I'd never, you know, publicly displayed any of my designs before.
Yeah.
And so I was like, damn, like, you think so? And he was like, no, yeah, like, we got to do this. So but the thing was, I didn't have the design on my phone, so we literally left the place, like, got lunch, left the place, went back to my sister's place, got the design on my phone, came back to the store, and we started getting the t-shirt made. And it was crazy because I just started seeing more, like, people walking by, and they were looking at the design as the dude was cutting out the picture.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool. I was just watching them, like, I was people watching hard. I was just watching all the reactions. I was like, oh shit, like, and they were positive, so that was, like, really helpful. And then this couple came up to me. I wish I got their names, because I really, like, you know, they really did something. The husband of the couple, he saw how I was looking at it, the t-shirt, and you know, he asked if this was my first time seeing the design. Well, first he was like, oh, this, like, whose design is this? And I was like, oh, like, it's mine. And he was like, oh, like, this is super dope, like, and the wife, you know, she's agreeing with him and stuff. And and he was like, this is your first time seeing it on clothes? And I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, it's my first time. Like, this is crazy. And he just looked at me. He just said, this is going to go really far. Like, no, seriously, I'm so excited for you. Like, this is going to go super far. And for somebody to tell me that, like, not even having anything to show yet, like, just, I get goosebumps still telling that story, because it was just so cool. And that basically confirmed my question of, you know, are people gonna like this, because it was such a personal design. I was just like, oh, this is just all about me, like this isn't necessarily about other people, but yet they still like it. So that's like, you know, that pretty much lit the fire. And I could, that wouldn't have happened if my brother hadn't stepped in, because I would have never thought, honestly, I did not have the confidence yet to do it. So I was kind of like forced into it, but in a good way. So that's kind of like how 1025 started. And for the rest of my internship that I had, I just started working on the brand. Like immediately I was working on names, and I was working on the hoodie designs. And I was getting a lot of really positive feedback from my high school and college friends. So yeah, that's how 1025 started.
That's so cool. That's so, so cool. Yeah. I know for like, I guess the kind of the designs you have, what, like, how do you come up with the art that you make? Like, I know other than the bear, recently, you came up with another design. Like, how do you come up with these designs? That, cause I remember like the couple that were like, this is gonna go far. I remember, cause how I came up, like how I found your clothing line. I was I follow this one page on Instagram, and they post a couple. A couple brands each day.
Yeah.
And, when I saw yours, it immediately caught my attention. I was like, I don't know what it is about like your clothing line, but it just caught my attention. And he posts like every day, and I guess it's just something. There's just something about it that just caught my attention.
Oh, thank you.
So how do you come up with the art that you make? The designs, or like I guess characters that you make.
It all really dates back to my identity, really. I try to really be consistent with that, because like I said, I love, you know, I'm not gonna be an animator anymore, but I still love my cartoons. So I love having characters. So if you're talking about Kai, my little flame dude, flame guy Kai, he actually came through, I came up with him through a poem I found about October, because I was looking for more content, and I was just like, I don't know why poems kind of came up. So I just started thinking about poems like in the fall, because back then I was trying to make 1025 like all about fall. But then I realized like I needed to expand, like it's too limited. And that's when like I found out it was International Artist Day. But anyway, I looked up a poem, and I saw this, there was a metaphor for falling leaves, and it you know, I forgot the line, but dancing flames came up. I was like, whoa, like, I love this. Like, I love that so much. And because you could actually draw a literal dancing flame. So that's how Kai came up. So he's kind of like a symbol of the fall season. In October, and that's like perfect with, you know, because it's 1025. And so that's like on a more specific note, but on a general note, I love nostalgia. I revisit nostalgia a lot. I think nostalgia is just such a powerful way to tap into a creative mode. So I love revisiting kind of my past, like Pac-Man 2 Adventures on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Was like me and my siblings' favorite game. Like we grew up on computer games, like PC games, and PlayStation 2 games mainly, and of course 3 and then 4 later. But 2 was like prime time video game playing, like Mortal Kombat, you name it.
Yeah.
So Pac-Man is also became like a visual inspiration on a visual aesthetic note, like the eyes of like Kai's character is like from Pac-Man, and like his colors remind me of Pac-Man, and so it's perfect. So yeah, I love nostalgia as a way to create my art. And honestly, like myself, like I started looking back at old high school work I did, because Keith Haring is my favorite visual artist. So I looked at a lot of my inspired drawings of him, mm-hmm. and or not of him, but like in like his inspired art.
Yeah.
And yeah, I started just revisiting that, and that's how I started kind of honing in on my you know, my aesthetic, which has always been really simple, you know, dates back to the cartoon stuff. So I really wanted to embrace that. So that's kind of like how I find inspiration, is basically through myself and like my own interests, like a lot of popular culture too, which is pretty intersectional to the nostalgia. Like for example, I haven't put this out yet, but I just made my own paisley pattern, like slash like bandana pattern with Kai. And it's so dope. Like, I can't wait to put, like, I'm putting on some denim pants. So yeah, like, I love looking at popular culture, nostalgia, all of those things as a source of inspiration. I also just made like a Kai based off like the Odd Future Flames, like my own kind of inspiration. So I love kind of pulling from things like patterns. Lately, that's been my thing, patterns, like popular patterns throughout, you know, popular culture. And I just kind of put my own twist on it, like a remix in a sense.
Mm-hmm. You put your like own twist to it.
Yeah, and it's you know, of course it's an original design, because you know, that's how inspiration works. Yeah. You take something you're familiar with and then you manipulate it into your own.
So you always try to, like, I guess, would you always try to clothe like place your clothing brand to I guess the style of, like, because there's some clothing brands that theme their like their clothing on, like, I guess, let's say they keep it like old school, they keep it like let's say, you know, back in the 80s style. Mm-hmm. they try to keep it in like that style. What would you say about your brand, or is your brand just something that keeps evolving and changing as it goes on?
Yeah, I'd say the second part, because I feel like I'm all constantly evolving and changing. Like, I can't even keep the same wallpaper on my phone for more than like 2-3 months. Like, I'm always like, okay, like, new picture.
Yeah,
like, I can't stick with the same thing. Like, I don't like complacency. I understand, like, on a business aspect that makes sense, because when you focus on a certain aesthetic, like you said, 80s vibe, mm-hmm. You know, when people see 80s stuff, they'll think of your brand. So I get the psychology behind it, but I don't know, man. I just love like the freedom that comes in this, and you know, I stick to, I guess, the basic rules in terms of marketing, all that stuff. But I don't know, when it comes to the art, I really want to just make whatever I like in my style, and then if that style changes over time, then it may change a little bit over time. But my goal is to get you to like know my characters, so that it doesn't even matter what, you know, form they take, like, as long as they have those, you know, those memorable characteristics.
Yeah,
like, it's fine. Like, I have different drawings of the bear, like, drawn in different ways, but it's like, since it's such a unique bear, like, you'll still recognize it. So it gives me more freedom. So I guess that's kind of like, I guess that's kind of my version of consistency, like, or recognize, like, for people to recognize my brand. Mm-hmm. You know, for some people it's colors, like when you think of Lyrical Lemonade, you think of yellow and blue.
Yeah.
I guess like my way of like people recognizing my brand is through the characters. Like, oh, gotcha. Like, that's Kai, and that's the I don't have a name yet for this bear. I want to say call it Brin Bear, but it feels too corny for me. The 1025 bear / Brin Bear. So then, like, you know, and I want to add more characters over time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, that's like, I just, you know, so for me, no matter how much they change, like physically, you know, whatever their form may take, like, I want you to still be able to be like, oh yeah, that's still 1025. They're like, that's like Brynn's design, like, those are her characters.
Gotcha. In your like own preference, like, not about like talking about your brand, just asking a question, like,
right.
I guess are you more into today's style, or I guess back in the days, like, style, like how I was talking about, like, in the 80s?
Oh,
or do you, or are you in like the mix, like, you like
That's a really great question. I think I feel like I'm probably a mix, because you know, like Pac-Man's pretty retro. Like I love looking at earlier video games as a source of inspiration. And yeah, not too actually, yeah, like I guess if you were to put me on a spectrum, like I would probably lean more towards the older stuff, but it looks modern. It's like the source of the inspiration, like it's coming from the 80s and like not like 80s video games, like 90s, like stuff that's been around for a minute. Yeah, that's a really good question.
Like myself, I'm still trying to, like, I'm more into I'm more into, I guess like the style I'm trying to like or that I like the most is probably the 80s. I don't know why. It's just the vibes that it gives, like the like the vibes of like the 80s is so cool. Like everything I'm always trying to collect like some really old. I remember when I first started like video games and stuff. The first console I had was the Nintendo 64. And we grew up playing with the Nintendo 64, and then the Xbox 360, stuff like that. So myself, I mean, I still love a lot of the things today, but the thing I love the most is probably the style of the 80s and like retro stuff. It just gives out a vibe that
Yeah, I've been tapping into that too. I was just looking at a Nintendo 64 because I remember hotels used to have those for kids. Like every hotel I went to, they had a Nintendo 64. That was the only time I ever got to play because we never bought one. But that's awesome. Yeah, I love the 80s.
So like me and some of my listeners and maybe some of your you know, the people that follow you, just give me and the listeners like a quick rundown on, I guess, the clothing line process.
Most definitely. So there's like a million ways to do this process, so I'll just give you my own. So what I have is, you know, the design, and then I get a digital mock-up. So I use Reno Studios for mock-ups. I feel like a lot of people do now. It's like growing very popular. So I use one of his mock-ups, like a t-shirt, hoodie, whatever it is that I'm making. Or sometimes if it's outside of hoodies and sweatshirts, like I'll go on Google. And then I put the design, have her see it onto the mock-up, and that's what I give to the manufacturers so that they can have a clear vision of my vision. And then they give me the sample, which I use as the product picture, and I use for the lookbooks. Some people use the mock-up as the product image, like the thumbnail when you go onto their website. But I like to use the like physical sample so people know what they're buying. Exactly. And so I use the sample as the product picture, and then I shoot the lookbook, and then I market the drop, and then I'm still a small business, so I go on a pre-order basis. So I'm not in a space yet where I can have everything prepaid for. So I use the all the customers' money, like that went into the drop, and I use that to pay the manufacturers, and then I ship it out to everybody.
So you have like, I guess, your own, you got your people, like I guess manufacturer. You already have someone.
You'll end up having, like, for those who do go into clothes, you'll end up having like multiple manufacturers.
Do you have multiple ones, or is it just
like I have someone for who does my denim so far, like I really like their denim, and then I have somebody like who did the knit sweaters, you know.
The knit sweater, that one, that's a drop that like I was like, you know, I need to have this. I'm still about to order one. I'm more into like when I like, I know some other people like their, you know, their way to dress, and everyone has their own style. I don't know why me, like I always like to dress like with baggy clothes. It just feels like, I don't know, it just feels more free. And I remember once when I first started off, like, wearing, I guess, like, you know, really loose clothes, I had this like really old white t-shirt. It was just plain white. It was just a white t-shirt, and it was like super big. And my mother would always be like, you know, why are you wearing this really big shirt? It doesn't even fit you. Like, you know, take it off and stuff like that. It would just be really funny.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. And as a woman, like, you know, it's always kind of, I don't know, it feels like a societal thing where it's like, you gotta wear the tight skinny jeans. Like, I just can't do that. Like, yeah. I love sweatpants. I'm a huge tomboy, so like, I love baggy clothes. Like, it just feels so much more comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, whoo.
Yeah, everyone has their own style and preference. So as you were going through this journey of like your clothing line, getting the concept and the process, was there any point of this journey that you maybe said to yourself, you know, maybe this isn't gonna work, or maybe you felt like you were kind of like, I guess, giving up? Or was were you always thinking like positive, you know, this isn't gonna, you know, fail, you know, this is something that's
doubt is such a human thing. Like, honestly, I personally think it doesn't matter how confident you are, like, there you at, or at least at some point wavered, you know. That's just natural. And then it's kind of like working out, like, you know, each time you gain a little more confidence and a little less doubt, so it ends up, you know, kind of bouncing out. Like, I feel like anytime you step into a new milestone, you're kind of like, with this drop I had, I was like, ooh, like, I don't know, but I still, I'm confident. Yeah, anyway, it was March of, you know, past 2020, the coronavirus. I was literally leaving on spring break. I remember telling my boyfriend, because we both, like, well, I went to USC together, and I was like, oh, like, you know, we'll be back soon, whatever. And he was like, nah, like, I don't think we're coming back. Like, I think we're gonna be online for the rest of the school year. And then that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, like, my, all of my stuff was in LA. Like, so I'm across the country. Like, I'm back on the East Coast. I have like 300 followers at the time, like 300 followers. I'm still on like a friends and family basis at that time. And like, all like my camera is there, so I can't even do shoots. Like, all the hoodies are there, like everything is there, and I was not there. So yeah, it was rough, because, and I don't know, like, my feelings at the time, I still knew I could do it. I just was really disappointed in that things weren't going to happen at the time that I wanted it to. So it really sucked, because I had, before I left, I had all these plans to do like a lookbook, and I had bought new samples. So I was really like, I was really starting to pick up a little traction too. Like, the guys at FedEx, like, even started buying my clothes. Like, I was building like a good relationship with them, and I was just, you know, I was in a good flow, and that totally just dismantled I got home. But, you know, I'm a positive person, so I did turn around. But for those few weeks, it definitely was a low moment. So I started kind of, you know, I think the virus ended up being really helpful in that early quarantine time, because it allowed me to do the inner work and really reflect. And I, you know, I started thinking about my strengths. I was like, okay, I can draw, like, I'll use that to market my brand. So if you go on my page, you see like a lot of drawings, and that ended up just being a thing I ended up just started liking to do a lot too. So I started doing that a lot. If you go back to my earliest post, when I was going to drop my springtime ghost t-shirt, like, I had like a 1025 skeleton holding up the t-shirt, because like, I didn't have the sample yet. So, and I was still very new to it. So I flipped the perspective on it. I was like, you know what, it ended up being such a good thing, because I can't imagine that happened now, like, that I do have traction, and like, more of my purchases are coming from strangers than friends and family. Like, I can imagine the complaints I would have gotten, because I didn't get my stuff back till July. or something. That happened in March, so I was actually very thankful that I wasn't getting orders. I think I got maybe one. I had to refund the dude. I was like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, it's way too long. But yeah, I ended up being thankful because that it happened at that time when I hadn't really gained much traction yet. So it ended up actually being like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. What's your whole opinion on this? I guess the pandemic. I mean 2020 was such a crazy year.
Yeah.
Like it started off with like, you know, people trying to raid Area 51. It was so crazy. I actually wanted to go down there. Yeah, I was like fuck man, I think I'm about to grab a flight to
oh shit.
Yeah, but then I was like, nah man, what if they actually have like tight security and
shoot.
Yeah, what if they just gun us all down?
Right.
So in your journey, who's someone that I guess you're grateful for, like someone who's always been there for you and has supported you throughout this journey?
On a general note, I wanted to say everybody and anybody who has supported my brand, whether they bought something or told their friend or family about my brand, like that's like, those are like, I'm grateful literally for everybody who likes my clothes. Even if you haven't bought anything, like, but you like it and admire it, like that's something I'm grateful for. But specifically, I'd say like my family and like my friend, like, or like my friends, like my college, high school friends, like, you know, some of them, good amount of them, like, were really supportive from the very first drop. And I have like my friend Carlos, he's bought every single 1025 drop ever, like even the stuff I never put out. So that was like, you know, I'm really grateful for him, and I'm really grateful for someone who I didn't meet at day one in my journey, but still pretty early in my journey, like my buddy Rocky. I met him just through the creative realm, and he has his own brand as well, Exile Worldwide, and super dope. Like, we haven't even met in person, but we just connect so well. It's just spiritually and emotionally, like creatively too. He's someone I'm super grateful for. Like, he's someone I can text and be, you know, like I can show designs to, and like he'll just give me that energy, you know, that I, like a little extra boost. And then I'm really grateful for, a lot of new people that I've met too. I'm grateful for like people I've met like at Jordan Brand, and one of my homies, Rodney, he goes by Hot Rod. He's a radio personality in Chicago. Like, he got me in contact with Lyric Lemonade, and he's someone who really, like, when I told him about my brand, like, he made it like it was his own brand, you know, like he made it his business to help me, you know. It wasn't just like a, oh yeah, for sure, sure, like I'll help you out, whatever. Like, he prioritized like making sure that I got to link up with Lyrical and all that stuff. Like, so I'm super grateful for him, really. Like, he was probably one of the first one of the few people, not the first, but one of the few people who really like showed genuine like support, like enough to like go out of their way to do something for me. That's it.
how was the experience being with the Lyrical Lemonade?
That was so cool. I hadn't met Cole yet, but I've emailed him, and like he's emailed me back and stuff, so like so I've like spoken to him, but we haven't met yet. But I did get to meet Elliot, who's the first person Cole brought on to Lyrical Lemonade. And that was really cool. It was a very spontaneous thing. I was talking to Rodney. I found him through the Lyrical Lemonade stand, like the channel that Elliot runs. When he interview like more so Chicago, like local artists that are growing and stuff. And he was interviewed, and he just seemed really genuine. So I hit him up, and he linked me with Lyrical. It was just very spontaneous. I was just talking about how I really wanted to go to Chicago one day, because I was just meeting really cool people from Chicago, like kids who skate in my clothes, like who skate for me, make content for me, like they're from Chicago. Like, there's just so, and a lot of cool brands, other streetwear brands are out there.
Yeah.
So I was just feeling such a gravitational pull to Chicago, and he was just like, he told me if there's anything he can do to support me. And I was like, hey man, like, if you could just let him know that I sent an email to Cole, whatever. And he was just like, oh no, it was my people, like, just come to Chicago, I'll just take you there. I was like, whoa, like, that's wild. I was like, okay, bet. So literally like a few days after my 22nd birthday, I got on a flight with my mom, mm-hmm. and we went like early in the morning. So if I stayed longer, I'm sure I would have got to hang out with more of them. But over time, like, I've gotten, like, you know, some of them, like, I think like half of the team that follows me now on Instagram. So I'm mm-hmm. kind of growing like my relationship with them.
Yeah. It's always good to have like a relationship with like, you know, I guess people that have a little bit more influence than someone. I mean, it always helps.
Yeah, it definitely helps. And especially if there's someone like who shares a similar message, like just positivity. Mm-hmm. I do that with my clothes, and they have the clothing line too. So yeah, it definitely helps.
Yeah. Did you, for your brand, have you ever gotten any, I guess, because for anyone, you always kind of get like, you know, people being like, oh, you know, that they don't like it, I guess, negativity. Yeah. Have you ever gotten any?
Oh, most definitely. I got that a lot, like when I was first starting. And that was the thing, like, I think there's such a benefit when you start off as a visual artist, like a painter or a drawer, like someone who's already found their unique style mm-hmm. and voice. But for me, who was kind of re-familiarizing myself with drawing, I was very vulnerable, honestly. Like, I was showing a lot of, like, you know, a lot of my earlier designs, like trial and error moments. And, you know, like, I was still kind of like learning to stand on my two feet, and I was still finding my style. But, you know, yeah. people, of course, want to jump to like assume the worst. It's like, dude, I have like 400 followers. Like, who's going to look at my stuff right now? Yeah, it was actually funny. It's just so funny how this is happening. I was actually accused of plagiarizing Lyrical Lemonade's character, like Cole's other, like, character Lenny. Flame guy. Like, people were like, oh, like, they were tagging Lenny, and like they were tagging like Lyrical Lemonade. They're like, oh bro, like, yeah, like, you took this. Some dude was like, oh yeah, like, you should just give up now. And I was just like, bro, like, what makes you think I'm gonna listen to you? Like, I don't know you. Like, why would I listen to you? Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. But I mean, I'm a nice person. I obviously could have like responded.
You could have bashed him.
Energy,
right?
Yeah, but I didn't. I always use reverse psychology. It's so fun watching reverse psychology work. Yeah. I'll just say like, hey, like, thanks for checking out the page at least. Like, you know, each their own. Like, I did not steal Lenny. Like, me and Cole just happened to be inspired by the same like, he's inspired by Dr. Seuss and like Keith Haring, and I'm inspired by the same people. Like I told you, Keith Haring's my favorite visual artist. So, and also it was such an early, like, I was showing all of my like process basically on Instagram. So that was the problem, really. But and at the end of the day, it actually helped me because it made me sort of revise Kai's character.
Yeah.
And it got me to kind of like really get creative with him. And one thing that Kai has that Lenny doesn't have, no hate, of course, like, you know, Kai's a flame. So, and flames, you know, they can shapeshift. Like, flames can take any form. So that's what really helped me kind of stand apart from him.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, when I did the draft for Dancing Flames, my dance, like the collection I want to put out, a collection I was planning to put out at the time. Yeah, like people were just saying like, oh, inspired by Lenny. And I was just like, no, it's not inspired by Lenny. Like, Lenny's a cool dude, and like, that's who I'm trying to like collab with. Yeah. But no, like, it didn't come from Lenny. Like, it was just happened to be like similar inspirations. And I was like, Lenny's not even a flame too. He's a monster. So there was just so much trying to kind of like combat. But I don't get that anymore. Like, thankfully, I think I've finally like made Kai into his own character. So yeah, that's the only time I've ever gotten hate. And usually every time I use reverse psychology, people end up actually liking the brand. Like, they're like, oh yeah, like, I didn't mean to sound so rude or like mean. I was like, well, so why did you? You know, like, they actually, like, those people end up actually liking the brand. So that's how I knew it was never personal. Like, some people just loved, like, some people just project on social media, and you know, who knows what's going on in their lives, whatever. But yeah, that's the hate I got. So it's so cool to kind of have like this crazy full circle moment where like the people who people accuse me of plagiarizing with is someone I'm going to collaborate with.
Yeah, they're crazy for thinking that.
Yeah,
I mean, I personally, I don't see nothing. Like, I don't see no. Like,
yeah. I don't either. I was like, where are you getting this from? I think because of I don't have this post on anymore, but when I was doing the Dancing Flames design, I think it was just like his body shape was also just very simple. So people mm-hmm. thought it was like Lenny, but even though like I didn't give him claws or anything, like because he's not a monster, like he's not like a just like a unique creature. Like he's not a I see Lenny as a creature. I don't know how Cole sees him, but I see him as like a creature that's like very Dr. Seuss vibes, like you know something that you couldn't name.
Is there something like I guess, and now that you know a little bit about you know. Now that you know a little bit more about, I guess, the industry.
Yeah.
Is there something you know now that you wish you knew before you started?
Yeah. The biggest one for me is, I mentioned this earlier, was understanding that I could have more than one manufacturer.
Yeah.
Because I can, and I'm sure, like, there's a lot of people like this, like, I can sometimes be a creature of, you know, habits, you know, routine, something I have to really like kind of like remind myself to step out of. I can get so comfortable with one place and then not really explore my options, and that was just like it ended up really backfiring on me because I was just spending money on like a manufacturing that just like was not for me. It was like this manufacturer I found through Instagram, because I was really trying to find something within the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they had really good branding on their page, so you know, naturally you trust that, like if you have quality pictures and stuff, you trust it. And I remember reaching out to them, and I was trying to start up, you know, I was trying to get the hoodie for the Dancing Flames collection made. And like the first sample came in and it was just so trash. I was like, bro, like this is it? Like, how am I supposed to drop this? I can't drop this. I was I just can't do it. And so I got them to send me another one, but they still haven't sent it yet. And this was like back in like June or July that I'm talking with them.
Damn.
Like, so I was just, you know, I was kind of giving them benefit of the doubt. I was like, you know what, like, you know, we did have poor communication. So that's that's how I ended up getting like the sample I didn't like. So I gave them, you know, I cut them some slack. And then when I got the next, so I ended up buying three other samples without, you know, seeing the second hoodie, this revised hoodie though. And that, and then, you know, I dropped like between $300 to $600 on samples. Thankfully, they ended up refunding me because they recognized that they, you know, weren't able to deliver my sample in a timely manner. Because with the Dancing Flames hoodie though, everything else was just like a one-time purchase, but with the Dancing Flames hoodie, that I had actually put down like a 50% deposit, like for a whole project, like it was gonna be a prepaid thing. So I put in like $800 on that, and I got it back though, thank goodness. But so I wish I understood that I could have multiple manufactured for different things, and I don't have to just stick with one, because you know, surely people who knit sweaters, they do denim as well. But I don't know, like I really like these other people I'm working with on denim, like their quality is really dope. I really like it. So that's just like how it's gonna be. So when I get knit sweaters, I'm gonna go to these people, and then with the denim, I'll go to the other people. So I wish I'd understood that more, and like understood that I needed to try more options, just like get more samples from different places, and to just not be complacent with just
to not just depend on a single what is your opinion on, I guess, the clothing line industry? Like do you think it's getting tougher throughout the years, or like what's your point of view on?
That's a good question. I think it is getting more challenging over the years in the sense of standing out, you could say, because I've seen a lot of brands that look like follow a very similar pattern. Like I see a lot of Grim Reapers, like a lot of a lot of demons or double characters or whatever. Like, and it's not that like that's a bad thing, of course. Like, I don't want to take anybody's freedom away like that. Like, you know, make what you want. I'm just saying, like, since there's such a more widespread, there's just more resources available to people. It's kind of like with music, like how now anybody can make music. Like, it's so simple. Like, we have like GarageBand, like, you know, like there's so many different ways to make music. Same with movies. Like, you can make a movie from an iPhone now versus back then when, you know, it's kind of an exclusive thing. But, you know, I think that just goes for everything now, including clothes, where it's, you know, so much is available to us. We have the internet, we have Instagram now, like social media. There's just so much to pick from, so anybody can make a brand. So it's really like the challenge is really just standing out. Like, how does your brand, how is your brand different from everything else? Like, how do you make your stuff stand out and make people resonate with you?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. In music and basically anything, even in like podcasting.
There's a still lot.
Even if podcast, I know podcasting is like still not as big, but it's still there's still a lot of like different, you know, different competition. There's still a lot of them out there.
Yeah,
and I totally agree with you that anyone can do, like, you know, anyone can create what they're thinking. The only problem would just be to I guess getting your product or getting music or, you know, getting whatever. The only problem would be is to get it out there and so that people can see it and make you stand out.
Yeah exactly.
I know you're talking about trying to like you said that you wanted to like make something with Lyrical Lemonade.
Yeah.
And is there any other brand that you maybe someday would like to collaborate with?
Yeah, most definitely. I got a small little list on like the going from larger brand to smaller brands. I'd say Supreme is like a big one for me.
Yeah.
If you take away the Hypebeast stuff, like what they've done as a brand. It's really successful to me.
I know,
like,
it started off as a skating
board. It started off as a skate-based brand, and that's also what I'm trying to push, like having like a core audience. And I just really admire that they were able to reach everybody, like hip-hop, even like the outer, where like camping stuff, like stuff they do with North Face, like in higher fashion, like Louis Vuitton, like their collab with them. So I really admire Supreme, so that would kind of be like the one for me. And then I really want to work with this artist Codone. He's someone who's like done stuff for Lyrical Lemonade. He's super super dope. I really love his work. And Jordan Brand, of course. So I've been growing my relationship with them since late September. Like, they're really cool people. Like, they support, they've even bought stuff. Like, they bought the knit sweaters, and so that's really cool. I'm supposed to meet them like later this month. So Jordan Brand was definitely to get a 1025/Jordan shoe. Going to like medium, like smaller scale, like I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's like Sukumi. Like, they the dude John Holland's, like, his whole brand, it like is aesthetically inspired by like Bape, like Baby Milo, like Tekashi Murakami. I think this stuff is really cool. And who else, my buddy Rocky's brand worldwide, Exile Worldwide, of course. My friend Mark's brand Systems, my friend Swank's brand Proxy Plus. Like, yeah, so those are just like ones that stick out to me that I really want to have down on my list.
Gotcha. And what about any artists like in the music industry, any artists that you would like to collaborate with?
Oh yeah, I love Cash Page. She's growing pretty quickly in music. I actually did get a DM response from her. Like she was gonna rep the Dancing Flames hoodie, but she's been growing so quickly, so it's hard to get a hold of her. But I gave her my number, like, 'cause you know I really trust now that I'm also going to reach like well recognition. So hopefully through like gaining that recognition, she'll remember like, oh shoot, like that's that girl who DM'd me. You know, hopefully she'll text me or something. But yeah, I love to work with Cash Page. I think she's awesome. Loner too, he's a rising artist. 24K Golden, we both went to USC. He's checked out my page a few times. Yeah, those are the ones that stick out to me right now that I really, really would love to work with.
Gotcha. I know I know there's like a separate between like clothing brands that are like I wouldn't say smaller, but like in the range where people, you know, can buy them. And then you got the clothing brands that are higher end, and what I'm talking about, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Dior. Do you like the higher end clothes? Is that like, or do you think that, you know, maybe it's like, I guess not, you know, because you know they have like really high prices on their stuff, and would you say that, you know, maybe they're not necessary, or is it still something that, you know, catches your attention?
That's a good question because I've been thinking about this lately. I like when I first started making money, like sure, like that's where my mind went to. But now that I'm a little older now, I just like kind of just don't really see the like. I mean, I see the value in it, but for me personally, like I don't hold the same value anymore, really, because I'm just like, man, like $600 for like a hoodie. Like I just don't know about that, or like $1,000. Like I don't know. Like I think it's kind of just a lot. Like I don't know. I personally love creating something that is affordable and people can wear and rep and feel included in. But you know, like I'm not saying like high end fashion is a bad thing. Like I have a Gucci belt. You know, like I'm not gonna front. I see the value in it, but. Like I've been really honestly looking more towards like smaller brands, like in like street, like underground streetwear brands for like my closet lately, honestly, because the stuff is just so unique. I just think with high fashion it can get a little, it's a little oversaturated, honestly. It's the same patterns on different fabric, like you know what I'm saying? I'm really not giving hate, like it's just a critique I have. You know, it's like you have the same pattern on everything, like the backpack, the jacket, the hoodie, and I think that works for high-end fashion. Like that's like how high-end fashion is.
Yeah, I
You
feel
know,
like
like
high-end fashion is not necessarily based on like it's just on the name that
exactly, and it's
that's
like those
really
like those things that you recognize, like you know that Louis Vuitton pattern, like you know that Gucci pattern, like they and that's like their thing, you know. I personally just love like the uniqueness and like. Just like this, how many like forms streetwear takes. I just feel like there's so much more in streetwear. There's so much to pull from. And if you look at the history of all of this too, the high-end fashion actually looks to streetwear for inspiration. Like Dapper Dan is a really big example of that. Like Dapper Dan like started like the whole bootleg stuff, like taking the Gucci patterns and the Louis Vuitton patterns and like making clothing out of them, and now he's with Gucci now, like they picked him. So yeah, I just feel like streetwear like just holds a lot more influence, honestly. And you know, high-end fashion, at least to me, what it looks like, it feels pretty stagnant, honestly. Like it's stable, of course. It's very stable. Like it's always gonna have value, like especially within like the hip-hop community. Always gonna have that value. I'm just saying, I feel like streetwear can bring so much more, and it's just more inclusive.
I feel like I'm the same with you. Probably when I was younger, I would be like, oh yeah, you know, that's crazy, Louis Vuitton and Gucci, and you know, I would try to get, because I did have a, I did have a Louis Vuitton bracelet, and I was like, now that I'm older, and I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't have spent $300 on that bracelet.
I could have gone somewhere else.
Yeah. So I guess it's just, again, personal preference, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, also probably get a Louis bag, honestly. Like,
yeah,
very like once it's like $1,000 isn't that much for me, like, because right now that's a lot. Like, I mean, even in general, that's a lot. But you know, like, I'll still have, like, you know, I still like nice things too, like, so I'll probably still like buy, you know, like maybe like a few things, but I'm definitely not gonna give it the same value that I give it to streetwear. Like, it's kind of more just like a, okay, yeah, this is cool, this is really nice to have.
Yeah. All right then. Is there anything you want to say to your followers? Maybe something you know you want to get out there?
Yeah, I really want to push greatness. I see on social, like, I feel like with social media, when we see people who have quote unquote made it and are really successful, we see it like, oh, like, they, you know, they've become great. And I really want to push that you've been great literally since the day you were born, you know, like, I see it as you've been sitting on a treasure chest this whole time. So it really is up to you to recognize that it's there, you know, because if you don't recognize it's there, then others won't. So I feel like, people need to recognize that now, like, is that they're great. Like, they've been great. They've literally been great. It's just, you know, it's just a matter of, like, when people start to notice that as well. But they won't notice it unless you notice it yourself. So that's something I really want to put out to people.
Gosh. And is there any, like, I guess, maybe some products that maybe be coming out, because you know, something that maybe you would like to you know, put out there?
Yeah, I got the denim jackets coming out in the spring. I want to call them like springtime emotions or something, and it's it's gonna have like it's on my personal page, like, I was flexing it. It's gonna have like Kai's, like, different emotions of Kai, like, throughout the jacket. I'm gonna have it in a brown and black colorway. I'm looking to drop that around like early spring. It's a dope jacket. I really like it. And then next will be the Dancing Flames collection, the long-awaited collection that it looks completely different now, so I won't get the Lenny Lenny comments. I don't get them anymore. Maybe like once or twice I've gotten them, like, in a recent time, but like, it's gonna be a completely different look.
Gotcha. And I see on your, like, you know, if people go on your Instagram, I see that you have like a table and some rugs. Is that something that you maybe are thinking about, or is that just some exclusive items?
For now it's exclusive, because I know if I were to drop that table, people are just going to complain about the prices. I paid a lot for that table.
I am in love with that table.
Oh, thank you. I love it too. Like, I've been in Miami, I have a second home here, so I've been waiting until I get home for the guy to ship it to me. I'm so pumped for it, because you know, I'm all about inclusive prices. And sure, like, for a unique piece like that, like, that would probably be expensive if I were to sell it, because, you know, so I can make money off of it, because I spent like $400 something on that, and I'm like, so I'd have to sell it for more, you know. So it would if I were to sell it, it would be a thing for people like who can't afford that. It's like, but that for right now, like, that's exclusive. I don't know yet. But for the rugs, I put out some rugs, the Bear logo. That was like a 1 year anniversary drop I did in November. And then the Kai rugs, like, his head shape will be part of the Dancing Flames collection that I'm gonna drop in September of this year.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm really excited. The rugs, the rugs and the table. That table, I really feel like that table.
Yeah, dude, it's we'll see though.
But maybe it'll be like a rare item for the.
I mean, if you're down to put that money down, like, I'll send you one. But it's a lot, so I totally understand.
Yeah, I mean, maybe after this, we could talk about it.
Yeah, after.
Now, this question doesn't necessarily have to do with, I guess, the clothing line business.
Right.
We talked about it off, like, off the podcast. But, like, some of the guests, well, most of the guests I've had, I always ask them about, like, paranormal and, like, conspiracy theories. Because on the podcast, we talk a lot about paranormal and, like, conspiracy theories.
Right.
What is your opinion on, I guess, paranormal or conspiracy theories?
Oh man, I love them.
Yeah.
I love the alien conspiracy theories. Like, you're talking about Area 51.
Yeah.
All of them. Like, that's it. Like, yeah, like, that shit is so interesting to me because the universe is just so vast. And I feel like the alien one is probably the most, like, factual one in a sense. I mean, I don't know. That's a heavy opinion.
Yeah.
I know some people who really just do not believe in that, but. Yeah. Or I don't know anybody, but I'm sure that they're out there. But
yeah,
I think there's no way, like with the universe this big, there's so much unknown.
Yeah, the Milky Way in itself, yeah. It's super big, and it's just and it's not just one Milky Way. There's like a billion.
Yeah,
and it has its own, like, you know, there's no way we're the only ones.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, you would have to be really like. What's the word, like, anthropocentric, like, if they, like, very, like, human or there's just, like, you really think that you're that we're that special, yeah. we're just all specs, like, within the universe, yeah. Like, I say this all the time, like, that's why the hater shit don't get to me. I'm like, bro, like, you're no greater or less than me, like, why, like, I can't, like, you're not gonna have this much power over me. Conspiracy, like, I love the alien stuff. I just think it's super interesting, like, the documentaries especially. Like, there's so many things, like, with the pyramids, like, they think that aliens did that, or, like...
Yeah, I mean, what is your opinion on that? Because I know, I mean, the pyramids were done such a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think, I mean, the blocks that we're talking about, talking about small blocks. These are blocks that are like a ton, like, these are like really heavy blocks and stacked up that high, multiple ones.
I mean,
I don't know, it's just
like, you need a spaceship for that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you just tell me people did that. Like, I'm sorry, like I think we're dope as humans, whatever, but I don't know about being that dope. Like, that's like some next level stuff. Like, my friend thinks that was like maybe because of like slavery. Like, slaves, like, hold on, like, I don't think like slaves could have been, like, as a collective, I don't think that they could have done that. Like,
yeah, and even back then, civilization was not really big. Like, we didn't have billions of people like we have now.
Yeah,
they were really small.
Exactly. And one thing I did read a few years ago was that the blocks that were used to make the pyramid, they came from like across the river or something, like really far away. They're planted. To think about hauling that like to where the pyramids are today and then stacking them too, like, I just think that there's no way, like, that's just like no way, like, humans did that.
I mean, it goes throughout the whole entire world. Like, in Egypt, you got like these pyramids, and this last summer we went to a couple months ago we went to Mexico for vacation, and there's this the city that we went to, the state that we went to, it has like these pyramids, almost like, do you know about like the Mayan pyramids?
I don't think so.
They're like, I guess pyramids, but they're like smaller. Okay. And like, and just throughout, like, we wanted to go check it out, but, you know, due to the coronavirus, they were all closed. And, throughout these, buildings, they have this system where, like, you can talk through, like, this, I guess, like, hole that they made, and hear it from, like, all the way the other side. Like, the construction of that is just so incredible. Like, to think that it was done such a long time ago. Like, how were they able to do this? Like, how were they able to do so many things?
Yeah, it really makes you think.
Do you have any personal experience with any paranormal? Or maybe something crazy that happened to you?
Yeah, Yeah, I guess like I guess I don't really call it paranormal, because when I hear that word, I think of the movie. Like, I think of more negative stuff. So, but for me, it's like more spiritual. Like I would call myself a very intuitive person, like very just spiritually connected too. So yeah, like I've had a lot of encounters like with spirits. Honestly, it's crazy. And this is crazy even me talking about this. Like this is such a such a thing that I do not share with a lot of people, but I feel comfortable. Like I remember my house that I lived in around from late elementary school to like middle school, like until seventh grade. I don't know, something about that house was just so like active, like so many different kinds of energies in the house. I remember like I mean, this is just one of the few things that happened. This one was the craziest to me. I remember I think I was the most curious about them, and like the like I was pretty brave, honestly, when I think about it. I was the most curious, and like I wanted to actually like kind of interact with them. So I remember I got all my siblings together, like my older sister and my younger brother. We all sat on my bed, right? And I was like, I said something like, oh, like if you're a good spirit, I was like, knock on the wall like four times. I gave a specific number, so you know. And then all of a sudden I just hear like four knocks, like they were all slow. And we were all, and there's no way that any of us could have done it, because we were all on my bed. Like, like we weren't like, you know, that's, it wasn't possible. So we just heard the four knocks and we all just like started running out of my room. All like, oh fuck. Like we weren't expecting that to actually happen, but it did. But yeah, there was a lot of cases where like we would hear stuff and we would think it was each other. We'd be like my brother and I heard something in the basement. Like something dropped like in our storage room or something. We ran upstairs and my sister ran downstairs downstairs from her room, and she was like, did you guys just like scream in my room or something? Like, and we were like, no, like did you just drop something in the, and we were like, and she's like, no. So we were all just like, it was like some Ghostbusters, like Scooby-Doo type shit. Honestly, it was crazy. Like that was like the most like activity I've seen. But otherwise, like I feel like a lot of it, the stuff happens like when I'm half asleep, like half, like, you know, half awake. Like when I'm like, if I just open my eyes, like sometimes I'll see stuff. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, like that stuff is wild. Like people who don't believe in, I don't even call them ghosts though. Like I just call them spirits.
Yeah, spirits.
Yeah, but that's my experience. Like I've had like so many more, but those are probably the most memorable ones.
I've always tried to, I guess, make contact with like some spirit, because I have a Ouija board and I have tried to play it a couple times.
You extreme.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually I'm one of those that be like that get upset if I don't see it, if I don't find anything. Okay, I'm like, fuck, man. I'm like, fuck, man. Why can't I get some? But other people are like, you're fucking crazy for fucking doing
it. Right, like, yeah, with the board too.
Yeah, yeah, but I haven't gotten anything. And in one of the interviews I did with an artist, her name was Ayla Karina. Mm-hmm. She was like the vocalist for Station 8 Hearts, a rock band.
Oh, cool.
And she was talking about how she was in this house and she had like so many, like, I guess paranormal stuff happened in her house.
Yeah,
and how it was just a crazy story. Is there anything, I guess, that last things that you want to get out there, Bryn, before we wrap this up?
No, just keep being great. If you want to start a brand, you know, understand that there's no rules to this. There's no right or wrong way to do anything, and I honestly, I'm a firm believer in once you start, there's no way that you could fail, like, unless you give up. Any kind of quote-unquote failing moment in your journey, like in your process, isn't actually failing. That's just something not meeting your expectations. So yeah, like, understand that, like, you know, you'd only fail when you give up. So yeah, keep being great, and yeah, that's about it.
Is there any social media or maybe some website that you want to put out there?
Yeah. So my personal page is Bryn on 1025. That's BRYNN on 1025. And then my website is www.on1025.com. And then my 1025 page is underscore on 1025 underscore. And yeah.
And yeah, I'll also put it on once this podcast is out. I'll put it out under the in links so you guys can go check it out.
Awesome. I really appreciate that. And thank you for reaching out to me and doing this. This is my first podcast. So thank you so much for having me.
It's been such an honor having you on today's episode, Bryn.
Dude, thank you.
Thank you for being on the show. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much. Bye.